Well, good morning to each one that's here. It is a privilege to be here again with you all today. I guess you all captured a special place in my heart when I was here back in the fall and have looked forward to coming again. I'm happy and feel privileged this morning to be able to share the hope of the gospel. I feel humbled to do that because I'm human and I'm a man and I'm not perfect. But I'm so happy to be able to share the gospel message of Christ. I want to write the title of our little message this morning. I've written on the board, "Nevertheless, I will do it. I will follow." I'd like to read out of the 5th chapter of Luke, and we'll read the first 11 verses. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. The message that I'm inspired to share with you today is that we would have the testimony of heart, Nevertheless, I'll do it. Lord, nevertheless, I'll follow you. Regardless of all of the reasons, there's always reasons. Regardless of all the distractions, regardless of all of the things in this temporal life that may draw us to some other place, that I would be willing to say, Nevertheless, Lord, I'm going to follow you.
Amen.
And I'd like to notice this morning, the first nevertheless. I feel like in this passage there was a stated nevertheless, and this is the thought that the Lord gave me. There's an implied nevertheless also in this passage, and I'd like to touch on both of them. Jesus started out by teaching from the ship. The Scripture doesn't tell us what he taught about. Said he got into Simon's ship. Well, I don't think it was an accident that he stepped into Simon's ship either, do you?
No.
I find that the Lord, I don't think he did a lot of things by accident.
No.
There's sometimes I fall into things by accident, do things I don't intend to do, sometimes for good, sometimes not so good. But the Lord, I don't think he did it by accident. He got into Simon's ship and it said he began to teach. Don't know what he taught about. But this is just my thinking. I don't think that he was preaching about how to maximize their bank accounts. Do you? I don't think he was having a lesson on how to advance their temporal careers. Quite frankly, I don't think he was given a lesson on strategies on how to maximize your chances to catch the most fish when you drop your nets in the water. I don't think that's what he was doing. And yet, as soon as he got done preaching, he turned his attention to fishing, didn't he? He turned his attention to fishing, and he told Peter, he instructed him to do what I think seemed like exactly the thing that Peter didn't want to do, maybe. I don't know what all was going on in Peter's mind. But the Scripture tells us he'd already fished. He'd been out there and he was cleaning his nets. And the Lord said, "Hey, Peter, let's go ahead and cast out into the water for a draught of fish." Well, Peter had already fished all night long. He looked at it and maybe, he was thinking, he was human like I am. Usually when I get done with all day's work, I'm ready to sit down for a while and rest. I don't like it if I get a call and I have to turn around and go right back into work. I feel like I've already done that for the day. Already had a day of work. Don't really want to do this again. And Peter might have felt the same way. In fact, he told the Lord, he said, "Lord, we've already fished all night long." He didn't say we'd fished for an hour or two. You notice that?
Yes.
"We've already fished. And we didn't catch anything." We didn't catch anything. You ever felt that way? Feel that way sometimes. Feel like I've done a lot of work and didn't end up with a lot to show for it. But then what we find is that Peter said something. He had one critical key word that he said. Nevertheless. Peter said, "Nevertheless." If we could just get a hold of the word "nevertheless" in our lives as a Christian. Do you know that as people, we have fears. There are times that we feel like that we can't do things as well as somebody else.
Yes.
All of us here could look back on failures that we've had in our lives, can't we?
Absolutely.
I hope I'm not the only one. In fact, I can look back in my life, I have repeated failures. And I'm happy for the verse that says, "A righteous man shall fall 7 times and rise again."
Yes.
I want to keep on rising.
Yes, indeed.
But you know, we all have places in our lives where we can look backwards and say, "Oh Lord, I have failed," or "I'm weak," or "I've tried that before. I don't have the talent, Lord, to do that. That isn't something that seems like falls to my responsibility." And it can go into all areas of our lives. Sometimes it can come right in the church. "Lord, I can't pray like brother and sister so and so. Lord, why do you keep dealing with me to say a prayer? I can't pray like they can." And so we are tempted to hold back and squelch the leadings of the Spirit sometimes.
Yes.
And not step out, if you will, and maybe pray. Or maybe we're at work and there's a word that the Lord gives us to share with somebody that we're around that maybe really needs it. We don't know anything about it, but we feel a little impressed. And the enemy is right there, and it's not all, it's ourselves, it's the enemy. And sometimes we're there to say, "Well, Lord, that's not my talent. If only so-and-so were here, then maybe they could reach this person." Right? "But Lord, it's not me. Lord, too bad I'm here today." And I wonder if sometimes the Lord's thinking, "You're exactly who I wanted to be there. You're the one that can reach them. In fact, because you don't say a whole lot, when you do speak, people listen. And I want this person to hear what you have to say. Because I've given you something to pass on." But we are ready many times to step back in so many different areas and draw back when the Lord would have us step forward.
Amen.
And He would have us to say what Peter said and say, "Nevertheless,
yes.
Lord, yes, I recognize this doesn't seem like You gave me 5 talents. I feel like I'm the one that You gave 1 talent. It seems like everybody else might have the 2 and the 5 talents, but I have the 1 talent. Why are You asking me to do that? Lord might want to give You some more talents. He wants You to exercise the talents that You have. And He wants us to be willing to say, "Nevertheless, regardless of all the reasons that I have, maybe not to do this, nevertheless, I'll do it, Lord. I'm going to trust you in this thing. I'm going to commit this to you, and I'm going to follow the leadings of the Lord. Get a hold of this. There's always reasons. Let other people have the reasons. You do the right thing. You know, there are people that will always be inclined to fall back on all of the seemingly good reasons not to do what would be good. You know, I felt like the Lord gave me a message one time about all of the good reasons not to do right or to do the wrong thing. The enemy, he's got a whole bucket full of good reasons to do the wrong thing. And we will fall into that trap. We'll start looking at all of the good reasons for me not to do what's right. Well, I could really mess this up. If I say this prayer, it's going to mess the whole service up. If I try to step forward and witness a little bit and jump outside of my comfort zone, I could just turn this person completely off. And we can start folk and say, well, I sure don't want to fail the Lord. I don't want to turn this person astray. I better just keep quiet. When the Lord was the one that was dealing with this in the first place.
Right.
And He's saying, no, Rod, this is for you right now. Pick this thing up. Be willing to take it on. Might not be your talent when you compare yourself to everybody else. But today, you be willing to be the loaves and the fishes and let me give the increase. But we're so willing to step back and have all the reasons. You don't be inclined this morning to focus on all the reasons. Be inclined to do the right thing. And I want to say this as gently to you as I feel like the Lord has impressed me with. You know what? This life isn't just about you. You know, sometimes when I think about my life, not thinking about your life, if I'm just thinking about my life, it can be easy for me to think that my life is about me.
Yes.
Right? Because it's me. But when we give ourselves to the Lord, and we say, Lord, I'll follow you. Lord, I want to be yours. I want to turn my life to you for a purpose that's larger, that's greater, that's higher than I am. I am beginning to turn that thought process around where it's not all about me. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, don't recall the verse. Know ye not that the Holy Spirit dwelleth in you, which ye have of God, something like that, and that ye are not your own. That's what he said. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, because you've been bought with a price, because you've made the decision to give yourself to the Lord, you're not your own anymore. Therefore, glorify God in what? Just your spirit? In your body. And in your spirit. In other words, everything. Lord, I'm willing to give myself to you in every area. When we can get a hold of that truth, that this isn't just about me, it will change the way that you think. It'll change the way that you make decisions, because a lot of times, as I said, we make decisions about me based on what I want. And when we get to the place where we realize it's not just about what I want, and we're willing to step out and say, okay, Lord, you've been patient with me. I've been able to go through all of the reasons why it would be good for me not to do this. Nevertheless, I'll do it.
Amen.
Look at what happened when Peter did what he was asked to do. It said that he caught so many fish that his net started to break. You ever caught that many fish? I mean, we like telling the story when we catch a big fish and it breaks our line. Sometimes the fish might be this big, but we don't have the proof to prove it, but we can sure tell a story about the fish was so big that my line broke. But what about net? Your net's broke. Your net's broke because there were so many fish in it. And not only did the nets break, the boats began to sink. And none of that would have ever happened if Peter wouldn't have said, "Nevertheless, I'll do it." Don't understand it? Don't feel like it? I've already tried it and did not catch anything. Lord, I've tried to witness before and it just fell flat. Lord, I've tried to pray before and it just seemed like I stumbled over my words and it didn't do any good. Lord, I tried to live like that. I tried to live a more careful life in that way, but it just seemed like I failed. Lord, I tried to be different from the world, but I just couldn't handle it. Lord, I've already tried this. And the Lord comes along and He says, "Hey, let's just push out into the deep so we can catch something here."
Amen.
Lord, I don't understand it. Nevertheless, I'm going to do it anyway. I want to live that way. I believe the Lord has victories for us that we haven't enjoyed yet because we've been hesitant to say, "Nevertheless, I'll do it." So I want to be encouraged and I want you to be encouraged this morning. Be willing to do that. Regardless of how it may have gone in the past. Now I want to speak to what I'm going to call the second nevertheless. You know, in life, regardless of our occupation, regardless of what the occupation is or what it is, there is what the world may term as the epitome of success or the picture of success. Whatever occupation is, if you can get to this point, this is where it's at. This is what others measure themselves against. This is what the high bar looks like. Maybe you're a builder. Well, the top end of a builder, I mean, you're in the magazines. You're building the buildings that gets everybody's attention. When people see your name, they understand and recognize who you are. That's so-and-so. He's the builder of builders. Maybe you're a small business owner, and you're able to get to the place where you've got more coming in than you can handle. Everything's clicking. All of your bills are paid. People recognize you as the example of what a small business owner is. Maybe you're a farmer. You have learned how to optimize the yields in your fields. And you get to the point where you're driving the nicest tractors and people recognize, "Oh, that's so-and-so. Yeah, we know who he is. He's got the corner on the market over here and his yields are the best, and any advice we can get from him we sure appreciate." Maybe you're a fisherman. And there is that example of, man, every time they come in, their nets are full to overflow. In fact, it seems like every time I see them, they're repairing their nets because they're breaking because they catch so many fish. And they're driving the nicest boats out there, sailing the nicest boats. You get the picture? The list could go on and on and on. You could pick whatever it is that you do. Whatever occupation, whatever it is, there is this high bar of what good looks like, right? Well, we find in here, in the sixth verse, it said, "When they did what the Lord asked them to do, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke." Well, it seemed like that day that Jesus exceeded all possible expectations of a fisherman.
Yeah.
It was like He just showed the best that it could look like for a fisherman. No one's ever seen that before. Boats sinking, nets breaking. It was like the Lord just showed Peter and the rest of them, "You want to see what good looks like for a fisherman? This is what good looks like for a fisherman."
Yes.
In fact, if they were thinking along the human lines, Peter and the rest of the boys might say, "Hey, we ought to, I tell you what, we'll take you onto our team. We can do pretty good at this. We'll get you out here and we'll catch fish." Now, if he did it once, he could do it again, right? You know, if somebody shows they can do it once, pretty high probability, they might be able to do it again. But it was almost like the Lord went out of His way to show Peter the best of the best in their lives as a fisherman. And he could do it in any occupation, any hobby, any interest you have. He could show you because He's the God of it. He's the God of the fishes. He created the fishes. But it was almost like He showed them the best of the best, temporal things in this life, and then He turned around and said, nevertheless, even though we could really make a go of it doing this, nevertheless, I have something for you to do that's of higher value than this. You're going to fish for men. This is what good likes as a fisherman, but I have something of more value than that. Going to fish for men. And I think about the verse that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek that first. And He said all these other things will be added unto you. But so often I fear, maybe not even consciously, we can get ourselves in the place where we get it turned around. And we seek first the things of this life, and we don't put priority on seeking first the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord, to me, the message to me in this that came across so clearly is, it doesn't matter how good you can do in the temporal things of this life, it's not worthy to be compared to the value that I have to offer you.
Amen.
And so the Lord said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. That's where the value is. Don't ever lose sight of that. And I'll add the things that you need on this other side of it. But seek first. It's not fishes, nets that are breaking, boats that are sinking. The value you may attribute to that, it's not compared. It's not worthy to be compared to the value that the Lord has to give every one of us in our lives. And we can read stories about those that did differently, and it didn't go very well.
Yes.
What would a man profit if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? There is nothing that's worth not putting the Lord first in your life. There isn't anything worth drawing back and not saying, nevertheless, Lord, I'll do it. Nevertheless, Lord, I've got all these reasons why this doesn't seem to be good for me. But, nevertheless, there isn't anything of enough value for that. The rich man got to the point where that he built all of his barns, and he thought he had it all set at the epitome of success for that man. There wasn't anything wrong with the barns. The Lord's not calling all of us to literally sell everything we have and just go sit out on a corner somewhere and say, okay, Lord, now I'm trusting in You. But what God wants us to do is to put Him first.
Amen.
He doesn't want us to lose sight of where the value is. He doesn't want us to lose sight of where the true riches are. And I don't want to get to the place in my life where I get to the end and the Lord says, thou fool. This night your soul is going to be required of you. Now what value do you have? We can find so many reasons in this life to spend so much time and so much energy moving forward and getting to that next place in this life when it's all going to pass away.
Yes, it is.
And God wants us to remember, seek first the kingdom of God. When He comes and He deals with you, and you draw back, but it's the Lord's sweet Spirit that's saying, no, come on. Be willing to say, yes, Lord. Nevertheless, oh, I don't want to get to that place where He says you've been weighed in the balance and you've been found wanting. I don't ever want to get to that place. And we have a blessing this morning because you are here and you have heard, no doubt for years, many of you, the truth of the gospel. We have the opportunity. You remember those words, thou been weighed in the balance and found wanting? That was Daniel talking to Belshazzar.
Yes.
And before he told them that, he gave them this long story about what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, and he got to the end and he said, "And you knew all this. You knew all this." Nebuchadnezzar wrote it down. In fact, read the fourth chapter of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar wrote it. He wrote part of the Bible. It was there for them to see. And he said, "You knew all this, yet you went and you took that which was meant to glorify God." Remember, he took the vessels out of the temple that were there intended to glorify God's temple, and he went and he took those to consume it upon his lust. He put himself first. And Daniel said, "You've been the words that the Lord's spoken to you, you've been weighed in the balance and you've been found wanting." Why? Because Belshazzar got things switched around. He got carried away with Belshazzar.
That's true.
He got carried away with what looked so good in the flesh and what he thought he could do.
Yes.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. You know, some time back, I don't know if this saying is still out there. I didn't really like the saying. Got kind of tired of it. People would say, "Why are you doing that?" Say, "Because I can." "What did you do that for?" "Because I can." That's not a good reason.
No,
just because you can.
That's right.
Sometimes we can do things that would seem to really put us a step forward. We say, "Well, I can. There's nothing wrong with it. It's me, I can." But is it what the Lord wants you to do? Has the Lord come along in your life and said, "Hey, yeah, this is all possible. Maybe it's within your capacity to do these things, but I would have you come over here and follow me and do this." And he wants us to say, "Nevertheless,
amen.
Nevertheless, I'll do this." Again, the Lord is not asking for all of us to just sell out all of our temporal goods and all of us head to the mission fields across the seas. Listen, the Lord has mission fields in the workplace.
Amen.
And He doesn't want everybody to leave the workplace.
No, He doesn't.
He has mission fields at school. He has mission fields in the neighborhoods. He's not asking that all of us make this display of getting rid of everything that we're doing that has to do with anything temporal so that we can say, "I've left all." You can leave all and follow the Lord while you're in those places.
Yeah.
If the Lord calls you to sell out and go do something else, which He does with some people, we want to be willing to do that. But I believe that what the lesson here is, be willing to never lose sight of where your priorities should be. Don't lose sight of where the Lord wants to see your energy. Say, "Well, what is your occupation?" I want to be able to say, "My primary occupation is being a disciple of the Lord. And oh, by the way, I work for so-and-so. I work at so-and-so company." But when I go to that company, I never lose sight of the fact that in my daily responsibilities, temporal responsibilities, I don't ever lose sight that the Lord wants me to be a disciple.
Amen.
And that I use those times and those instances to spread the word of the Lord by example, by a word fitly spoken. Sometimes it feels out of season and it's not comfortable. But the Lord wants us to be in the place that we're willing to do that wherever we are and never lose sight of it. Because you'll have the opportunities to do different than that. And there will be times where you won't feel like it. You'll say, "Lord, I'm tired. Well, I've tried that before. I've already done that." And the Lord's saying, "Just push out and do it." He wants you to say, "Nevertheless, Lord. Nevertheless, I will do it." Where are we today? Where are your priorities today? You know, it's a good time to take stock of our priorities sometimes. It's good sometimes just to step back and say, what really am I focused on? Where are my priorities in life? What waters are you casting your nets into? And what is it that you're expecting to catch? The Lord doesn't want us to lose sight of the fact that He wants us to cast our nets into the waters so that we can do His will.
Yeah.
That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to launch out into the deep as He asked Peter to do so that something could be caught. He wants us to draw from the wells of living water. And I want to briefly say this. The world has put so many different wells around us to draw from. Wells that promise fulfillment and satisfaction. Many, many wells. Get so many wells around us with so many promises that we can live our entire life running from one well to the next, hoping to find fulfillment, hoping to find joy, because that's what they promise. And the Lord's over here softly, gently saying, I'm the water.
Yes.
I've got what you're looking for.
Amen.
Come draw from me. I have living water for you. But we won't find it if we don't seek Him first. If we're not willing to say, nevertheless. If we don't ever say, nevertheless, I'll do it, we will see minimal miracles in our own lives of the fishes and the bread becoming multiplied so that the multitudes can be fed. What if that's what the little boy said? Well, no reason to offer that up. It's not enough anyway. God just wants you to offer up whatever little you have willingly. And then let Him give the increase.
That's true.
Don't draw back. Sometimes we think we should hold the decision rights on whether we should or shouldn't do something when it's the Lord that's asked us to do it. Leave it up to Him. Leave the results up to Him. Be willing to say, Lord, it doesn't seem like much, but I'm willing to give You this. Might be time for some of us, maybe all of us. We all have those places where we have our comfort zones, don't we?
True.
You know, fishing was Peter's comfort zone.
That's
nets were his comfort zone.
Yeah.
And when he came by the first time and he says, hey, come follow me. They left their nets and they went and followed the Lord.
Yeah.
And that had to have been getting them outside of their comfort zone.
Yes.
They were comfortable with nets. And I also noticed that Peter didn't say, hold on, Lord, we are willing to follow You. Let me get this net put together here so that I can take it with me. I'm going to follow You, though. And then Peter goes following the Lord, dragging his nets behind him. Catching on all manner of things. Getting caught. Causing hindrances along the way.
Yes.
He had to leave it. Had to leave it behind and say, yes, Lord, I'll come, I'll do it, I'll follow. The Lord wants us sometimes to be willing to get outside of our comfort zone.
Amen.
It's not always easy.
Hallelujah.
Become more comfortable with discomfort. How about that?
Yes.
If you're going to follow the Lord, become more comfortable with discomfort.
Amen.
And then trust in the Lord. Lord, You are an all-powerful God. Lord, I know You can pick up the pieces where I don't have it to give. Be as the eunuch that when Philip was talking to him and they're racing along and all of a sudden he saw the Lord speak to him through His Word and say, you ought to be baptized. And he saw water and he said, hey, there's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Well, he could have said, you know, my chariot's standing there. I have a certain position. What are people going to think if they come by and they see me standing out in the middle of this water and somebody dunking me down? And they go, what in the world is he? Isn't that so-and-so? But he was willing. Nevertheless, I want to do it because that's what the Word of the Lord is leading me to do. And when he did that, he was blessed in his body and he looked around and Philip was gone. Now there's a story to tell somebody. I was reading and this man shows up, tells me all about what it was I was reading because I didn't understand it. And then we got baptized and I turned around and the man was gone. But it never would have happened if he wouldn't have, in his own mind, said, oh, this is what the Lord wants. This is what I'm going to do. Be willing to do that this morning.
Thank the Lord.
And I want to say this before I close. Sometimes we can hear these sorts of messages and we can say, yeah, I've tried that before. I stepped out before and it didn't work. And it seemed like I was a failure. You know, sometimes we can get to the place where we feel discouraged. Sometimes we get to the place where we feel empty. That's normal. We can feel empty, discouraged, like a failure. We can feel like that we don't really have anything on hand that we're really pleased about and happy about. You know, Peter felt that way too after this. You know, if I'm reading it correctly, there was one other time where they caught fish like this. And it was when the Lord was walking along after so much of His time with the disciples. And they didn't know it was the Lord, and they're out fishing, and the Lord called out and He said, "Have you any meat?"
Yes.
And the response has always captured my attention because I could relate to it. It was a short response. It was to the point. The response was, "No. We don't have any meat." Sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we feel like, "I don't have any meat. I've been out here fishing all night and I don't have anything." And the enemy can try to use that to discourage us. You know what the Lord's words to Peter was? Or whichever one of the disciples, I think it was Peter that answered the question. They said no. He said, "Cast your net on the other side." They had caught nothing. And they felt empty and they felt down. And maybe they felt like, "Well, we sure have failed tonight. Might as well hang it up." And the Lord said, "Do you got anything?" He knew what the answer was. Sometimes He asks us because He wants us to come to the realization of really where we are, so that He can manifest Himself. And He wants us to say, instead of covering it all up, trying to act like we have something we don't, which sometimes we try to act like, the Lord wants us to say, "Lord, I feel empty, I feel discouraged, I feel like a failure, I don't feel like I have on hand what I think there is to have on hand." And the Lord might be saying, "Oh, I'm so glad you finally came to that realization. Now I can do something with you. Cast your nets on the other side." And He wants us to be willing to say, "Even though I have caught nothing all night long, nevertheless." And what difference does it make anyway to cast on the other side of the boat? I don't want to leave that behind. It wasn't like He had some great, profound, different kind of a strategy. You know, what difference does it make what side of the net you throw the net off of your boat on? It doesn't matter. And sometimes we can think, "Lord, why does that make any difference? Why does that matter?" Nevertheless, I'm going to do it anyway. And when they did it, the Lord's power was manifested and came down. And His glory filled that place, and they recognized, "Lord, there's a power greater than we are out here.
Amen.
Oh Lord, I'm not worthy to serve You. But I'll serve You, Lord. Lord, I'll throw my net on the other side. Lord, help me not to doubt You in the future anymore. Lord, when You say throw your net out, Lord, when You lead me and guide me and prompt me, Lord, there's going to be a lot of reasons. Lord, help me to let everybody else have the reasons and let me do what's right. Let me be willing to say, nevertheless, Lord, I will do it." God is calling us to such discipleship. God's calling us to be a servant in that manner. He wants us to be able to say, "Lord, I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord." And I believe that when we do that, I believe that when we're willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll go." Was it in Isaiah? Who will come? Who will come and follow me?
Who will go for me?
Who will go for me? Then said I, "Here am I, send me."
Yeah.
He didn't say who feels the most qualified of everybody out there that's going to come follow me. Who has all of the talents? Who has all of the energy? Who has all of the gumption? You know, a lot of times we feel like we have no gumption, no talents, and no energy. And yet the Lord's calling me. Must not be the Lord. Who will come and follow me? Who will come and serve me? "Here am I, Lord. I'm going to come and follow You. Nevertheless, even though I feel like I have no gumption, no energy, and no talent, Lord, I'll give you the loaves and fishes that represent me." And I believe that when we do that, The Lord has victories for us.
Yes,
he has experiences for us that we've never experienced before. And it will positively benefit those around you too. Remember, it's not just about me. I'll be able to use some miracles I've never seen before. And other people will be benefited. Oh, this morning, be encouraged if you're discouraged. Be encouraged if you're encouraged to stay encouraged. And go forward with the Lord with the heart of, Lord, whatever it is, whatever it means, I will seek you first. Nevertheless, I will follow. Pray for me. I want to be true.
Yes.
I want to be faithful. Let's all be faithful to the Lord. Pray for me. Amen.